whatever it is that switches us on to be afraid. And so I wanted to choose a couple passages, one from our chapter 4, one from our chapter 5. And we're going to look at this whole issue, especially in light of the fear, as I just asked, a model, the fear of flying. Cover a lot of other fears that we have as well. But we'll look at one gal and how she wrestled with this moment. Look how fear comes up in these two passages, chapter 4 and chapter 5. This is Mark 4:35. And this is when Jesus is in the disciple. Jesus is with the disciples in the boat, and Mark is the only one who says he's resting on a cushion like he's sound asleep. And the other gospel saying Oh, who said it? Public speaking. There are people who have said, if I called on to speak publicly, kill me first. Because people are definitely afraid to come up and talk to people. Between 33 and 40% of all people experience some anxiety related to flying. And 2.5 to 5% have a crippling fear of it, a phobia. The fear of flying seems to start for many around the age of 20. Taken from polls and studies, around 27. So my daughter-in-law just flew out to New York with her 3 children, and then they flew back again. The children have no fear of flying. I mean, they get in the car, they get in the bus, they get in the speed tube, and they get you there safely. They've flown many miles already. No fear. But come in 20s, that's when people start to put their children together. We're going pretty fast. Something could happen to us. Well, if you are somebody you know who struggles with fear, think a lot of fears. There is hope. Ed Welch was one of my professors at CCPF in counseling and said, our fears can be fought and known. Now, this is really insightful and really encouraging to give all of us hope. A lot of us have a fear of something, whatever that is. Most people think, if I have a fear of something, it'll never change. It'll always be. I'll always be afraid. I am definitely afraid of and don't do life. In fact, that's me. Scared to catch it. Scared to whatever. That's why I'm there. That's not the right thing. No. This type of fear that we're talking about, and we're not talking about someone pulling a gun on you or a gang of guys surrounding you. We're talking about this phobos, phobias, fear of elevators, fear of going over bridges, fear of heights, fear of germs, claustrophobia, fear of what your nose. All these are fears of what might be. But this is happening. That is, they don't have a cause in and of themselves. Instead, our fears, are often the result of chronic, excessive overprotection, focus on ourselves. Ourselves, that's why the person who's afraid of public speaking is afraid of what people are going to think of them. How are we going to perceive them? How are we going to perceive them? thunderstorms, all thunderstorms, lightning.
Walking on the sidewalk and something else. fire.
Here's a smoke detector illustration. The smoke detector alarm goes off. It's just flaring. Ah, what's our first question?
Ah, the first question. Now that's a statement.
Because then you get to say, I'm so sorry. I didn't know this was going to be close.
The first question is, yeah, what's wrong? What's wrong, right? Does it make a difference if your house is on fire or you're burning a piece of toast?
Well, absolutely.
So here goes.
The smoke detector doesn't care about your feelings. It's job to alert you to possible danger. Your job is to distinguish between the truth and what's not true that happened according to you. If your house is on fire, what's the first thing you grab? If you have children.
I'm glad you're not my dad, Jim.
Jim's going for his keys. That'd be a fun thing to do if there was a fire burning. What's the first thing you do? Well, that could also destroy the relationship too. But you grab your children, you get out. But if you burnt a piece of toast, safely ignore the screeching. Go into the bottom of your oven, pull out the cookie sheet, and you ban the detector, the smoke away from it. Reset the smoke detector to have that kind, and toss the piece of toast in the garbage. There's no need to rush outside and call it anymore. You're safe, it's just a burning piece of toast. Likewise, if you hear wine, we're going over a bridge, and your alert system goes off while you're driving to the airport, getting ready to take off, or, as I was saying, crossing the Mackinac Bridge, and you first see those pylons going up, you see how far it spans, you see the tiny ships that you know you're going down the channel or the bridge, and then you hear your tires on the grating. Then you have to ask, okay, I'm safe. And who's driving? I'm safe. And Kevin's going to be driving. I just want to drive across the bridge here. But I'm safe. Thousands of people do it from that street. Because thousands of people fell in. Average citizens fell into the third right. And not citizens. You have to distinguish. But all things considered, I'm safe. Others have done it hundreds of times. Craig has done it 10,000 times. And I've made it across here, so I've never seen an accident on it, but I've never seen that. And so if you focus on, I'm not saying that I don't get a little edgy, but I'm looking down and Bonnie gets edgy. Because she says, honey, and I'm watching her. And I'm saying, honey, there is so much beauty around us. Look at this. But I do try to be very straight and narrow because I don't want to do that. But generally, it's going to be safe. But remind yourself of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, think about those things. In this list, things that Paul gives us to think about, which one of those would help us in this situation or to be afraid? Which one of those elements? The very first one. But because whatever is true, Mark, you're not going to be plummeting over to the sun. The truth is, lots of people have done this. The truth is, you have done this before. And you can counsel yourself. So lots of people do this. It's about a few days of it. It's something you can't even cross the line. Yeah, you end up crossing the line. Then thank God for his courage, because you remember First Peter 5. Cast all of your fears and your anxieties and your worries on him. Why? Oh, what's the rest of it? Because he cares for you. He's going to take care of you. If you go over, or the cable breaks, or something happens, he cares for you, he's got you. We're all going to die somehow.
Yeah, a bus can be claustrophobic too. I thought of that. I thought, wait a minute. But most people do something about this life, and most others, you know. But you have to realize that you're aware of many of these why wasn't enough was from the California, how we connected the state university, football, playing the get rich, but it's a good thing. That's often what it is. And they can't be it. And plus, second, she narrowed her issues down to compelling reasons. Why she wanted to take up a car. Why she wanted to start to deal with why it makes her fear of why. The first was a blossoming relationship with a guy. And guess where that guy lived? Broadly, generally, far away, overseas. Her second compelling reason was her faith. She knew, as I intimately said, that God could give her a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. She had to learn to think right and straight. So she decided to end up what she believed and not let fear rule her imagination. And always what's going on with focus. Third, Janet discussed her relationship. Stood out, going to places without a support person. She was still young at this time. Without a support person, in this case, it was her mother. And she needed a support object, a granola bar that she could carry out. Sounds silly? It's with the incremental amount. Practice incrementalism. Incrementalism becomes something. Fourth, a multi-step micro-action plan.
Transform it.
weather, aerophobia, claustrophobia, health anxieties, public speech.